Hi, I'm Chris Wilson, and I'm your film interviewer this morning. I want to tell you about the Port Townsend Film Fest Women in Film Festival. It's going to be from Friday to Sunday, April 12th through the 14th. And today we're fortunate to be able to talk to one of the directors, Aaron Kopp, who with his wife Amanda directed and was the cinematographer for the wonderful movie Liana. Now, Liana tells the story of five children who come from a village in Swaziland, and it has been described as an exquisite and staggering debut feature. So, Aaron, congratulations.
Thank you.
And welcome today. And I'd like to ask you, what makes this movie so exquisite? I know, you made it, but everyone says it is.
Well, I think that it's really mostly the kids who are in the film. It's, you know, as you said, it's about these five really fascinating, complex, beautiful young people who tell this crazy story. And I think all of it that's exquisite is just them, how, you know, imaginative and crazy and vulnerable and just cool they are, basically. I mean, that's the reason we made the film. They're our source of inspiration. The fictional part of the film that they create, you know, it's animated. And the animation is created by this extraordinary artist, Shofela Coker, and his work is just stunning. I mean, he's just a phenomenally talented dude from Nigeria originally, and he worked crazy hard for years to make all of these amazing images that bring the children's story to life. So I think what of it that's exquisite belongs to other people. We are just sort of the messengers, in a way.
So it's been described as genre bending because it is not just live action, but it also involves this beautiful animation as well. And also, the way that it's filmed, the animation is not live action. Is that what I don't know how to describe it. It is still shots, but changing light and changing mood behind these beautiful, beautiful works of art. It is like a children's picture book come to life. That's what I would...
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah, Shofela, the guy who did all the artwork, speaks about it really beautifully. He calls it sort of a breathing painting. Mm. And that allowed us to achieve this really sort of rich, lush visuals that he's capable of. You know, the way he speaks about it is really interesting. He talks about sort of balancing the energy between the way the kids express themselves so beautifully and the way they kind of half act out the story. And we wanted to make sure that the animation augmented what they were doing and sort of engaged the viewer's imagination, mm-hmm. but didn't overpower or sort of become redundant with the way the kids tell the story so beautifully, because they really are the center of it all. You know?
So the story that they tell is interwoven with the story come to life. And so now we should talk about the African author and activist who is so involved by drawing out this storytelling from the children.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kinam Sope is a very famous South African creator, and I had seen her perform, actually. She's a storyteller, she's an author, she's an activist, she does all kinds of stuff. And I saw her perform when I was in high school in Southern Africa. I grew up in Swaziland, and I saw her perform when I was a kid, and it just kind of stopped me in my tracks. I mean, she's just an extraordinary, captivating, charismatic woman. And so when we sort of had this idea that the kids could create a fictional space that they could tell a story, she was really the only person on the list. So we reached out to her because she does work like this already, and she very masterfully and lovingly helped the kids sort of guide them through this storytelling process and made them feel safe and comfortable and free to really express themselves. And she's, of course, a master storyteller, so she really helped us helm that process in a way that we could not have done otherwise, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's also been described as staggering. Why don't you tell us about what it deals with?
I think how people find it staggering is just because of the emotional complexity and the range, I think, that the story represents. The kids tell this story, and it is infused with their kind of brightest, craziest imagination, but also infused with the trauma that these kids have suffered. They live in an orphanage, and their lives have not started the way that anyone wants their life to start. And so inevitably, they infuse a lot of that into the fictional world that they create. And that creates a very kind of rich tapestry of emotion. Sort of 1 second you're laughing and the next you're crying. I mean, they just have this sort of uncanny ability to mix pain and hope and fun. And I think that range really comes out in the way that the story is woven together. And, you know, there's some real life scenes in the film which are pretty grim and I think suspenseful, you know, mm-hmm. in that they show what life experience is for young Africans. And I think that that's an experience that most of the rest of us have never had. And I think that that is a pretty rich experience.
This is your second film about or takes place in Swaziland. So can you tell us about how you came to make Swaziland your filmmaking home?
I came to make Swaziland my filmmaking home because it was my home. I grew up in Swaziland. My family still lives there. And so we go back quite regularly. And since Amanda and I met, my wife and co-director on this film, we've been traveling back and forth there. We live in the States now, but we spend quite a bit of time off and on over the years there. And we have just, it has always captured our imagination. And this place and these kids in particular have been a source of inspiration for us for a really, really long time. We've known the kids for several years before we even started filming. And just always had a special place in our heart. And so we just kind of can't help ourselves, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the sky and what the environment and all the beautiful colors of that land look like and have a special feel for the children and the people. We haven't talked about AIDS. And I think, you know, a lot of people in America just think, well, didn't we send a lot of money over there and haven't we pretty much conquered the spread of AIDS? And why has AIDS had such an impact in Swaziland? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, that's a big couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I mean, they're just speaking about the sort of the AIDS situation specifically now. The incidence rates, so the number of new cases has dropped off. So there has been a lot of progress made in Swaziland with respect to treating AIDS and education and all kinds of things. You know, we're going in the right direction. However, the number of kids whose parents have passed away and the sort of long-term generational impact of what that disease means in Swaziland, you know, it's still overwhelming in the lived experience of many, many people all across the continent and around the world, really. But the consequences will persist for generations. I often say I think the wave has sort of crested, but it has yet to crash. I mean, I think what that means for society long term, to have so many of its children raised without parents, I think nobody really understands what that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Swaziland has the dubious distinction of having the world's highest AIDS infection rate, which all of the reasons for that are very sort of complicated, interwoven reasons, and to be honest, I'm not sure I understand them all. It is a highly patriarchal society, and I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, for whatever reason, that's the situation in which Swaziland has found itself, and these young people and these amazing women who run this place are, you know, doing their best to kind of make their way in that world.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Aaron Kopp, and he's one of the directors with his wife, Amanda, of an amazing film called Liana, that's going to be showing at the Women in Film Festival here in Port Townsend, the 12th and 14th of April. So, Aaron, this movie, it deals with AIDS and the effect on families, but also child trafficking, kidnapping, rape, abuse, alcoholism. You know, there's just so many things that have impacted these five children. How does this story become uplifting in the face of all this trauma?
Yeah, I think it's really because the children themselves, yes, they have experienced all kinds of rough stuff,
mm-hmm.
but they are so much more than the sum of their suffering. You know, just like any kids anywhere, even if they've been through tremendous, tremendous hardship, they still have hopes and dreams and imagination and sense of humor, and that just very naturally comes out in this fictional story that they tell. And I think it's important to recognize that when we hear stories of people who are different than ourselves and all of the pain and suffering that are in those people's lives, that we don't assume that that's all there is to them. And I think that the emotional range between, yeah, this dark, traumatic material that the kids infuse into their story and all the fun, crazy optimism that they infuse into the story is just true to their character. And I think that's why we find them so compelling, and I think that's why their story is so important, because it adds nuance to our understanding of people who have lives that are very different than our own.
Right. So they're living in this orphanage, and they're working in a storytelling workshop, and they're having so much fun, and they are so creative, and their voices are so lyrical. This whole piece is uplifting because I think it's their voices are musical, and you also have some wonderful music added to the film. So tell us about Philip and what role Philip Miller played in making of Liana.
Absolutely, yes. I would love to talk about the music. Philip Miller is a phenomenally gifted South African composer who worked for a long time with us in Swaziland. We actually went to Swaziland with him and worked with the kids who are in the film to create some of the score, the sound effects, all the kind of stuff that you hear behind the images. We worked with a couple kids from my high school that I went to in Swaziland. One of the primary voices of the film is a young woman who went to the same high school I did, Mobile Mamba. And we worked with a bunch of traditional musicians in Swaziland, these, you know, elders from the rural areas who play these really amazing traditional instruments. And they, together with Philip, wove together this really, I think, beautiful sound space for the film, combining Western instruments and African instruments and all these voices and the sound effects and the birds and all kinds of stuff. It was quite ambitious, but I'm glad that you like it, because we're really, really proud of it. And it is an absolutely essential sort of third strand of the story that weaves together the real life and the fiction.
Well, I hope that on the radio station we can play some of the soundtrack. I would love to be able to do that. So as I looked at this, at the trailer and parts of this film, I thought, oh, I hope it's going to be made into a children's book. So are there plans for the publication of Liana?
Yes, there are. We are currently working on a graphic novel type of book that we hope to be used, well, for pleasure, first and foremost, but beyond that, particularly in underserved communities in the States, and as well as across Africa. We're really excited about, you know, the book form. It, you know, as you see the film, it very immediately sort of jumps onto the page. It's a very sort of natural transition. So, yeah, it is in the works.
So we've been talking to Aaron Kopp. He's the director and cinematographer of a wonderful movie called Liana that's going to be part of the Women in Film Festival in April. Make sure that you get your passes at ptfilmfest.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, Aaron. I look forward to seeing the movie in full.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Don't be afraid. Be brave.
You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. It's Women and Film Festival time again, the fifth time we're having this festival, which is sort of a mini festival for the Port Townsend Film Festival. With me is Executive Director of the Port Townsend Film Festival and Film Institute, Jeanette Force.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me back, Larry.
Oh, listen, it's one of the examples of the wonderful cultural stuff that goes on in this community and the symbiosis between a radio station. I mean, we wouldn't have anything good to talk about if you didn't do the kind of work that you do.
So, well,
it would be a boring radio station.
And I think that our filmmakers are so delighted about the coverage that they get while they're here and the fact that you archive your work so that they can attach links to interviews that you guys have done in the past.
We interview a lot of people on the station, and of course, filmmakers, we find are so happy to be able to talk about their work, because they are so invested in their work. They work so hard on it, and most of the people we talk to are the behind the scenes people, and they have to look at people's reaction in a theater, but they rarely get to talk about how excited they are and the process of how they got to what they did.
Completely true.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really exciting to
know,
do that.
You'll appreciate this. The festival has expanded from 2 days, which was a Saturday and Sunday. It's in April, the 13th and 14th. But we do a panel conversation, the Filmmakers Forum, which was so popular last year that we're expanding the festival to include Friday evening. So on Friday evening, we're opening the Presbyterian Church up on top of the hill, 1111 Franklin. That's where you can pick up your passes starting at 6 o'clock. But at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a panel conversation moderated by Amanda Sturer. And the subject will be, what do you wish you had known looking back at the beginning of your project?
Yeah.
We have veteran directors like Andrea Simon and brand new directors who have never done projects at all. So it'll be a very interesting conversation.
So let's get back to the total framework to make sure people know what days we're talking about. The festival runs April 12th through 14th. So that first Friday night is April 12th.
That's right.
13th and 14th, Saturday and Sunday, are the days of the festival.
And those daytime screenings will open for pass pickup on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And then the first screening is in the Starlight Room starting at 10, and then 10:15 in the Rosebud and 10:30 in the Rose.
As always, for every film festival that we've covered for the life of this radio station, every year we've been covering it, and there's always an amazing lineup of things that we never would have had a chance to see or wouldn't have even known existed without a festival like this.
And that's the glory of so many opportunities that we have. Somebody said, you know, film festival should be titled Films You've Never Heard Of and Stories You'll Never Forget. I really love.
That's a great catch line. Use it sometime. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned this opening filmmakers discussion. Let's talk about some of the people who are going to be there. I know
Well, the forum is an opportunity for people to get an idea about some of the subject matters that we'll be covering. You know, we have a beautiful little film called Dawnland, which is about what happened in the as late as the 1990s, where tribal families, specifically this film focuses on rural Canada, tribal families had their children removed from their homes and placed elsewhere because they could get, air quotes, a better life. But that was happening quite recently.
And, right. And, of course, there's such a long history of that happening in the U.S.
Exactly. There? So Adam Mazzo, the director, is from the East Coast and will not be attending. So he called on our lovely local representative of lots of tribal culture and film, Tracy Rector, who is the director of Native Lens in Seattle. So she'll be with us on Friday evening to represent that film. Mm-hmm. Another representative will be Andrea Simon. She is the director of a film called Angel Wagenstein, Art is a Weapon. Again, a story I would never have known.
Yeah.
You know, Eastern Europe has had so many changes in their political landscape, but Angel Wagenstein, as a filmmaker, stepped up in his early, he was 19 when he was a political activist in Bulgaria, and has been an artistic voice in his community for almost 50 years. And he has been imprisoned. He has been beaten. He has been lauded by the government and then put back in prison. And he never stopped. His perspective is unique and dynamic. And he takes us to the prisons where he lived. He takes us to the state house where he was celebrated. And it's such a great reminder that political activism is an aspect of every culture, and when the flavor of the day in Eastern Europe changed from socialist to maybe perhaps democracy back to communism, where were the artistic voices? Well, Angel Wagenstein was on camera.
Wow.
He's just amazing.
I saw the trailer for that one, and that one, again, it's a story that a film we wouldn't have seen, a story we wouldn't have seen. It's screening on Sunday.
And you will never forget it.
At 1:15 on Sunday at the Rosebud. Jeanette Force here with me here at KPTZ talking about the Women in Film Festival 2019. let's pick out some of your standouts. I know it's hard to pick your favorite children here, but
well, you know, one of the things standouts. The exciting part to me, 2 years ago, we premiered a film in the Pacific Northwest called Big Sonia that was directed by Seattle director Leah Warshawski. And Leah is a very, very inspiring filmmaker. We had featured others of her work over the years. Leah wasn't able to be with us at Women in Film, and she is since screened at the Rose. But the film itself has such impact for audiences that a private individual in our community stepped forward and said they really wanted to help purchase an educational license. And the Port Townsend Film Festival agreed with them, and we purchased the license that made it possible for our school district to incorporate Big Sonia as part of their Holocaust curriculum. They really wanted to continue the conversation about the film, so they invited Leah to come to the high school on Friday, April 12th, and speak to students about her life as the grandchild of a Holocaust survivor and just what that genocide and the impact that it had on her grandmother, how she carries that today, and what she's chosen to do, a lot like what we talked about earlier with the film Anhel Wagenstein, mm-hmm. and how we are presented with a myriad of heartaches and trials. What do we do with those? Well, artists use them. Mm-hmm. So Leah, because we've already screened her film, was very excited to finally be able to be part of Women in Film. So she will be joining us in our Friday evening conversation at the Presbyterian Church. What did you wish you had known about your project in retrospect? And I think her voice will be really, really exceptional.
Oh, that's great. Well, now, since we're talking about transmission of family history, there's a notable film that I noticed here called Story of Mothers and Daughters.
Again,
let's talk about that one.
Great story, because last year we showed a film called My Love Affair with the Brain, and it was made by a husband and wife team, Catherine Ryan and Gary Wimberg. And Gary and Catherine came to Women in Film, fell in love with our community, and the film, their film, sold out so quickly, I felt bad for them. So I brought them back in September for our film festival and did an encore screening. Well, the love affair was off and running by then. And they applied for and received our film fellowship grant for 2019. And what that means is we welcome a filmmaker to our community anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks. And our requirement is simply that the filmmaker come and do their work. And at one point during their time with us, they do a public presentation that is available to our patrons and perhaps to the public. Well, Gary and Catherine wrote in their application that what they really had in mind was taking a film that they had made in the 90s called A Portrait of Mothers and Daughters and creating an original musical based on the content that they had then and content that they would like to collect while they're here in Port Townsend. So we agreed we would welcome them as our film fellows. I programmed the film on Sunday morning in the Rose at 10:30, and you will have an opportunity to meet those directors, learn more about their project, and should a person want to be more involved, that's where they can throw their hat in the ring.
Jeanette Force, every year, working so hard to make you and all the wonderful volunteers that work with you, working so hard to make this a really notable festival, a festival that we know we've heard directly that filmmakers love to come to.
It's an honor to be able to amplify the voices of these filmmakers. And I had our wonderful friend J.J. Kelly, who launched his career here. He wrote to me and said, Jeanette, without you giving us a voice at the film festivals, we would simply be artists muttering in the corner.
Yeah,
I loved that quote because it's really true. Yeah. We have the opportunity to amplify voices that would really not be heard otherwise.
Yeah, boy, we all share that. That's our job, really.
Yes,
whether it's film festival, radio, writing, that's our job.
Yep.
To give people a place to talk about the passion that they have and the important stories that they uncover and that they tell.
And to have some healthy debate about things we didn't know about and things that we might not agree with.
Yeah. Jeanette Forrest, thank you so much for coming on, as always. Whenever we talk about your film festival, it's always very exciting.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, yeah. Larry. Thank you for inviting me.
Women and Film, presented by the Port Townsend Film Festival, runs Friday through Sunday, April 12th through 14th. Passes are available at ptfilmfest.com. ptfilmfest.com.